Brother Tim mentioned that I hadn't been here, but I have, by the grace of God Almighty. When I saw Brother David yesterday dropping his youngest son off at BR Supply, where I work, I thought, I know where Brother David's going, and I prayed for the meeting as I worked yesterday, and I prayed for the meeting last night as I was with my wife and children at Martin Westview High School at a production of Midsummer Night's Dream with my oldest daughter. And prayed for y'all today at work as I was working again by the grace of God, and thank God for the job that I have where I'm able to provide for my family, and not only that, most importantly, I'm able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a blessing to live in a country where I can have a job where that allows me to be done. I thought of you all again this afternoon as I was again at Martin Westview High School for another production of Midsummer Night's Dream. So even though my physical body has not been here, there's not one of you who have not been far from my thoughts as this meeting has gone on. This meeting always holds a special place in my heart due to my father in the ministry, who I love so greatly and miss so greatly. Due to the moment that I first talked to him in this very yard about my particular call to preach. So let's just pray that God will lift us all up tonight. Amen. And that the call to preach is in fact evident, and that God be praised in that. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, and in verse 14, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace." What a wonderful and beautiful thought the Apostle Paul tells us. You know, how magnificent to think that sin is not our ruler. Amen. At this very moment, I have very many masters. I have the boss that requires me to be at work in order for me to be there from this hour to this hour, in order to make a living wage, in order to provide for my family. I have my wife, who may not be a master, but she is a beautiful, sweet, kind, magnificent helpmate, and I try to do my best to be subservient to what she needs me to be. In Ephesians 5, we have that wonderful thing that says that wives are to be subservient to their husbands, but after that it tells us so beautifully that we are to treat our wives as Christ treats His church. And believe me, that particular calling is a lot greater than her being subservient to my needs. But she is, in a way, a master to me because I should treat her the way that I treat Christ. And even more so at this very moment, I have a master, the very King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that Brother Chase mentioned, that is walking to and fro, that is seated at the right hand of our God, Eternal King, and is making intercessions right now at this very moment on my behalf and on your behalf. But what I do not have over me right now is sin. Sin has no dominion over me. Now, in my flesh, I do sin. In my flesh, I am of sin. In my flesh, I am sin. In my father's seed, when my father, when I was conceived in my mother by the seed of my father, at that very moment, at the moment of conception, sin was present in my conception. And I have never lived a moment on this earth where sin has not been in me.
All right.
But what a wonderful thought that I am not a servant of sin.
Amen.
What a wonderful thought that I do not have to worry about sin having dominion over me. And the Apostle Paul goes on to say that I'm not under the law, but under grace. There's so many things that we look at in the Old Testament law, and we think to ourselves they're good and very good. I'm not going to get up here and I'm not going to criticize the dietary laws of the land of Israel. I'm not going to criticize the laws that they put before us. I'm not going to criticize the Ten Commandments that were given to Moses, because I'm here to tell you they are good and very good.
Right.
But what I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt is at this very moment I am not under that law.
Yeah.
I am not under that law because that law has been fulfilled.
Right.
It has not been destroyed. It is not null and void. It is not, you know, we should ignore it. But it has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And in the fulfillment of Jesus Christ, I am no longer under not only sin, but I am no longer under the law. I am under that sweet, magnificent word, grace.
Amen.
Love in action. I am under the grace of God eternal. I am under His piteous heart, where He looks upon me, a poor, weak, worthless failure of a human being, filled in sin, always in the wrong, and sees not me, but sees the perfection and righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ.
Right.
What a thought to know that, that I am not under the dominion of sin, and I am not under the law, but I am under grace. Amen. That first verse there, that 14th verse of chapter 6, sets us up for a beautiful thought. And the Apostle Paul continues with, what then? So what do we do with this fact? We've got this information. What are we going to do with this information? And there's so many things we can do with it. You know, when you tell people you're a primitive Baptist and you believe in salvation by grace, and you tell people that God elected a people before the world ever even began, when you tell people that there is an atonement in the blood of Jesus Christ, but it is limited to those that God chose in His Son Jesus Christ before the world began, when you tell people that you are in fact preserved in that very blood of Jesus Christ, when you tell people that you are totally depraved in and of yourself and that there's no good in you, but you are born under sin. When you tell people this, their initial thought is, well, if I believed like that, I'd do whatever I wanted.
Yeah,
if I believed like that, their initial thought is always, well, why would you bother going to church?
Right.
Their initial thought is, why would I honor God if it's all taken care of anyway? And I say to that is hogwash. Because I'm here to tell you that I honor God not because I'm looking for reward. I honor God because I know who I am and what I deserve.
Right.
I honor God because God has shown me that He has redeemed me from His blood, and He's redeemed me from my blood, from my sin, from my pain, from my sorrow, and has given me everlasting eternal life through His Son Jesus Christ. So what then do I do with the fact that I'm not under sin? What then do I do with the fact that I'm not under the law, but I'm under grace? That doesn't cause me to live a life of sin. It causes me to hate a life of sin.
Right.
What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid.
God forbid.
I don't seek to sin. Sin is a part of me, but I don't seek to go out in the morning and sin. I seek the opposite. I want my Father to be happy in who I am. I want my Father to be glorified in my walk. I want my Father to be thrilled for me to go to bed at night and not say He's failed me, but that He's tried. That He's made an attempt to follow in the calling. That He's made an attempt to walk with my Son Jesus Christ. That He's made an attempt to take His yoke upon Him. To take Christ's yoke upon us, as it tells us in Matthew 11. For His yoke is easy and His burden is light. These aren't just words. They're not just written. They are messages, personal messages to you. When you read Matthew 11 and it tells you that His yoke is easy and His burden is light, believe it.
Amen.
Believe it. It's hard to make it through this world. It's hard to get up in the morning and to go through your life. It's hard to just put your shoes on some days. It's hard. But you know what? He is able. He has already won.
Right.
You know, we go through life like we're losers. We're not. You've already won. You have the redemptive power of Jesus Christ in you.
Amen.
If you die tomorrow, if you die tonight, you will be in the very presence of God eternal.
Amen.
And no matter what pain is thrown at you, so many people look at pain and sorrow and they think that we're being punished. And I don't, you know, sometimes, yes, we are being chastised. But so much of pain and sorrow in our life is because we're sin-filled creatures.
Right.
And we have to stomach that. And we have to go through that. And we have to have that burden. But again, the burden that we've got is hard. The burden that Christ gives us is light. His yoke is easy. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey. You will be a servant to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 42 and in verse 6, where the remnant says to Jeremiah, who they have chastised and who they have cast out and who have imprisoned, and Jeremiah has wept and wept and wept and wept, but now the remnant is left and they're begging him to go before his God, not their God, but his God. And they say in verse 6 of Jeremiah 42, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Listen to the voice of the Lord our God. Know what He desires from you and obey. Know what He desires and obey. And what He desires isn't burnt offerings.
Right.
And what He desires isn't large amounts of money.
Right.
And what He desires isn't a Pharisaical attitude.
Amen.
And what He desires isn't something that you can come up with of your own accord. It isn't presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. It isn't any of these things that the world is going to tell you that He desires of you to give to Him. What He desires is obedience. What He desires is you to listen. What He desires is for you to hear Him as He calls unto you. And not only to hear Him, but to listen and obey. What a wonderful thought to know that all you have to do to please God eternal is just listen. You know, I've been married for almost, well, it'll be 19 years at the end of this month. And my wife is a beautiful human being physically, and she is a beautiful human being spiritually, and she is the love of my life, and I can't express it enough how much I love her. But I'm here to tell you that the love I have for her is paling in comparison to the love that God has for me.
Right.
And the love that He has for all of His children. Every single one of us. And that love that God has, He loves us and wants us, not in a pleading way, but He is glorified by us listening to Him. But God be thanked. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, ye be your servants unto whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or teaching which was delivered unto you. That you are now being then made free from sin, verse 18, ye became the servants of righteousness. Being a servant of righteousness is so much more than going to church.
Amen.
It's so much more than making an attempt. Being a servant of righteousness is knowing who God is.
Amen.
It is serving what He's called you to do.
Right.
And what He's called you to do is to love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's
right.
What He's called you to do. That's it. And you say to yourself, it's not that simple, Brother Ed. It is that simple. It is that simple. Y'all have had me around preaching for near 20 years now, since I first attempted to preach in 2003, and was ordained in 2005, and I'm now officially an elderly minister. Praise God Almighty, I've made it. I've made it to my elderly minister stage. I'm officially there. But I'm here to tell you the beautiful truth of the doctrines of grace are always going to be beautiful.
Right.
They're always going to be magnificent. They're always going to be faithful. They're never going to change. They're never going to change. And no matter how often I preach, it's always going to be simple. I've decided that now. I'm not getting any more complicated over the years. You're not going to get a Chase Bradley sermon out of this mouth. You know, Chase Bradley has a gift that's wonderful and glorified, and he's very blessed of God to deliver things that, and Brother David knows that I'll never think about. Stuff, you know, stuff that Chase comes up with, I'll never have. But his gift is his gift, and my gift is my gift.
Right,
and my gift is a Tootsie Roll, and his gift's a Charleston Chew. It doesn't matter. They're different. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. The servants of Christ's love is what we're the servants of there. His righteousness. He goes on in verse 19 to say, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. You have to make it simple. If you get up here and you make it too complicated, people aren't going to get it.
Right.
The gospel is simple. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself.
That's pretty simple.
It's extremely simple and extremely hard.
Yeah.
Extremely simple and extremely hard to do.
Right.
But it's simple. I speak after the manner of man because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and unto iniquity. Not just iniquity, but iniquity unto iniquity. It's
right.
Iniquity squared is what it is.
That's
that's what we yield our servants. And that's why I speak to you from a sin-filled flesh. I don't speak to you from a glorified body. I speak to you from the same sin that you've got. But I don't speak to you as one that is mired in that sin. I don't speak to you as one who says, wallow in that sin as a pig wallows in the mud. I speak to you as one that says, drag yourself out of that sin and bring yourself to the other pigs and take the other pigs out of the mud and go get yourself sprayed off. And thank God Almighty that you have the ability to know that cleanliness is available. You know, it is available, and it's free. It's available, and it's free by the grace of God. Even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Present it yourself. I said you don't have to present yourself a living sacrifice, as Paul goes on in Romans 12 to say, but just because you don't have to doesn't mean you should. You shouldn't not do it. You should do it. You should present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is, in fact, your reasonable service.
Right.
It's reasonable. It's not unreasonable. It's not something that we need to consider is hard to do, because it's not. But that doesn't just mean present yourself on Sunday morning. It doesn't mean just present yourself on Saturday night at a service. It means present yourself when you see Brother David drop off his son at your workplace. Present yourself in prayer. Take that moment and acknowledge that your brother that you love is going to some place to worship God. And even though I couldn't physically be here, as I said, I was here with you. You didn't see my face, but you felt, he felt my presence. He felt my desire to be with you. He felt, and Brother David, now retired David, is much busier than regular David ever was. And by the grace of God, even in his busy life, he's able to make it here to this meeting. Praise God for it. Not praise David, praise God. Verse 20 tells us, and we're going to finish up because I really want to hear Brother Howard. Verse 20 tells us, for when we were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. When ye were, past tense, the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. None of you, again, back to verse 14, none of you is currently a servant of sin. You're just not. Sin has no dominion over you. None.
Right.
None.
Right.
When you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. And I can look back on my life. As most of you here know, I was raised in New York State. You said I was a traveler. You said that I was a transplant. I was raised in New York State. And I was blessed to be raised in New York State by loving Christian parents who don't believe in the doctrines of Christ and the doctrines of grace that I believe in the same way, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I will see again in glory.
Right.
And what a comforting thought that is to know.
Amen.
That when my father, who's on his deathbed at this very minute, my father who is eaten up with cancer from head until toe, my father who is ready to go meet his maker at any moment, that can barely breathe as he makes his way through his daily activities, is on hospice care with my brother caring for him, that when he breathes his last breath, that even though I saw him last weekend, even though I hugged him and kissed him in the flesh last weekend, and I told him that I loved him, and I told him I was thankful for him, and I cried with him as I said goodbye one more time, knowing that maybe I will not see him again next month, I know as I said goodbye to him, I may not see you next month, but I will see you in glory.
Amen.
I am more sure of that than I am sure that
Amen.
The sun is going to rise in the morning.
Amen.
I am more sure
Amen.
Of that then I am sure that we're going to lose an hour of sleep tonight. And guess what, everybody? You don't have a say in that. You don't have a say in whether you lose an hour of sleep tonight. You're losing one. And you don't have a say in whether you're going to go to glory. You're either going or you're not. You have the exact same power to change the hour of sleep you're going to lose tonight as you have to be in glory. The exact same power. None at all. None at all. What fruit, verse 21, had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Mm. Brother Fuller used to say, if you could see my thoughts on a video screen behind me as I was preaching, if you could see the thoughts and the life that I've led, and And everyone here knows Brother Fuller, and you know, I know so many stories that I can't tell in the stand, that I can't even tell my wife in a lot of ways, just foolishness. Not anything horrible, old Brother Fuller, but foolishness that doesn't need to be discussed. And he doesn't want that behind him, and I don't want my foolishness behind me. What fruit had we in those things where if we're now ashamed? What are you ashamed of? There's not a person in here who has not done anything, from the youngest of the young to the elderly of the elderly, that has not done something that they are ashamed of in the flesh.
Amen.
What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Right. Every sin That's you've right. ever committed has led you to death.
That's right.
Everyone in here has earned death.
Right. Yeah.
Every single person that has lived on this earth from Adam until the last heir of promise deserves and has earned death.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's Except right. one, who was not just a person, but was God, is God, and always will be God.
Amen.
He did not deserve death. For he did not sin. He was like us in Hebrews 7, I believe it says, he was like us in all ways except without, made in all ways except without sin. He does not have sin in him. Never did. Wasn't created of sin, for his seed was of his father. That man did not deserve death. You do. Not only do we deserve death, we deserve hell.
That's right.
Not only do we deserve hell, we deserve hell times infinity for the sins. I don't care how well you think you've behaved on this earth, you have not earned anything but hell times infinity.
Right.
Yeah. I don't care how much you've donated, how much time, how righteous you feel. I don't care how righteous you feel. Sometimes people feel self-righteous. And I feel bad for people that are self-righteous because all they're feeling is God's righteousness and they're claiming it as their own. That's what self-righteousness is. It is feeling the righteousness of God, feeling that you are holier than somebody else, feeling that you are above somebody else, feeling that you have something that they don't have. The reason you have that feeling is you have the righteousness of God in you, but the problem is it's not yours. It's His.
Right.
It's His. My kids are like that when it comes to money. They're a lot like that. They'll go somewhere and they'll be like, ooh, I'm going to get this, 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 and this. And then the wallet comes out and it's not the kid's wallet. It's my wallet. And you know, their money, my money is their money. If they want something, let me rephrase that. If they're in need of something. I don't give them everything they want. I'm trying my best not to spoil my beautiful daughters and my lovely wife. But you know, if they're in need of something, you know, Grace had April's going to like this one. Grace is on the cheer squad for the 90 millionth year. I don't know how long school is, but she's been cheering every single year. And every year it gets more expensive. And she came home and said, I need a check for $200 tomorrow. Like she's asking me for a 25-cent token. I need a check for $200 for tomorrow because the cheer starts and we have to have for next year. Like it's nothing. And of course, okay, here you go. I write it out because my money is her money. But she doesn't look at it as, you know, this is Dad's money. She looks at it as, I need $200 for cheer. This is mine. I'm going to get my cheer money in. Same thing with righteousness. We take it on ourselves. It's not yours. It's God's. It's His. And if you feel righteous, if you feel blessed, if you feel redeemed, if you feel saved, if you feel like you've got power above the sin that's in you, if you feel any different than this, let me give you an example. If you feel any different than let's get here and see it. If you feel any different, then there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God, they are all gone out of the way, they are all together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one, their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known, there is no fear of God before their eyes. If you feel any different than that, it's God's righteousness.
Right.
And that what you deserve is death. So he goes on in verse 22, and I'll end here in verse 23. In verse 22 he says, But now being made free from sin, you are now free from sin, and become servants to God. Think about that. You are no longer, again, as we said in verse 14, you no longer have sin of dominion of you, but you are now a servant not to sin, but a servant unto God. You are a servant unto God.
Right.
Ye have your fruit
Amen.
Unto holiness, to be set apart. Your fruit unto holiness, in the end, everlasting life. I told you, you've already won. You've already won. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much power you have. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or if you're Republican or if you're independent or if you're from China or if you're black or if you're white or if you're a man or if you're a woman or if you're a servant or if you're free. None of that matters because God Almighty has already given you free eternal life.
Amen. Right.
Think about that. You're free from sin, and you're servants unto God, and you now have fruit unto holiness, in the end, everlasting life. And this last verse tells us, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. That's what we have earned. You know, we always say this as Baptist ministers of the gospel. We always say that grace is free. We love that song, Song 43. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye all creation. Grace is free, oh grace is free. But I'm here to tell you that grace is free to you.
Right.
But it was paid in full by Jesus Christ.
That's right.
It was expensive.
Very expensive. More expensive than anyone could have ever paid.
Right, right. Amen.
You've heard this said before, and it's so true. It would take Jesus Christ to fake Jesus Christ. You know? You could not be Jesus Christ unless you were Jesus Christ. You could not have Christ unless He was, is, and always will be Christ. And the wages of sin, the wages, the earning of what you have done, every breath from this moment and backwards and every breath forward, you are earning death. But I've got wonderful news for you. When my Father breathes His last breath, if he breathes His last breath before I see Him again, then you know what? He is not going to die. He may leave this body. He will leave this body. He may leave this earth. He will leave this earth. But I'm here to tell you, He will wake up in the presence of God eternal.
Right.
He will wake up in the arms of His Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He will turn to Him. And He will be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And He will understand everything.
That's right.
He will understand
right. All
of it. And guess what? When I get to heaven, I'm going to be wrong on some of this. You know? I'm wrong on some of it now. I've changed my mind several times on several points in this Bible. I'm going to be wrong when I get to heaven. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to know where I was wrong. I'm going to fully understand completely
right. Who
God is,
right. What
God has done, why God has done it.
That's right.
I'm going to know.
Completely.
I am going to know. Amen. I'll be satisfied when I wake in His likeness. The wages of sin is death, and I am not going to bear that wage. It is paid in full. Because He goes on to say, but the gift of God.
Right.
The gift of God.
That's right.
If I offered Brother Howard my truck, it's a 2012 Chevy Avalanche out there, and I handed him the keys to it, and I said, Brother Howard, you know, you're a wonderful man, and it's good to see you after all these years. It's been years since I saw you in New Jerusalem there when y'all were down there and the church was being built and Skinner Sheet Metal did your heating and air conditioning and I tied in with all that stuff. It's been years. But you know what? I say, Brother Howard, you can take my keys and you can take my truck. And Brother Howard can either take this car, this truck, or he doesn't have to take this truck. But I'm here to tell you that if I take the title and I put it in Brother Howard's name, he doesn't have to receive it for it to be his.
Amen. That's right.
He doesn't have to receive it. Now I'm here to tell you, he'll get a lot more joy out of driving the truck that he owns if he drives the truck. He'll enjoy it a lot more.
Amen.
Same thing's
Amen.
True with the gift of God. You don't have to receive Jesus Christ to be saved by Jesus Christ. He has redeemed you wholly and completely. But I'm here to tell you, people, just because you don't have to do it doesn't mean you shouldn't. Every single one of you should desire to receive the gift of God, to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We don't need to let that verse be taken away from us. We don't need to let other orders of people say that that's their words. That's truth. We should acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Amen.
Because He is.
Right.
Acknowledge it. But not because you want to help him bring you to eternal life, but because he's already done it.
Right.
Acknowledge that gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
There is no one that is going to be in glory through any other door than through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No one. And it's because of that joy, unspeakable and full of glory, that we can preach Him here today, that we can understand who He is, that we can be joyful, that the God who is greater than anything I could ever talk about, and who is better than anything I could ever say, has redeemed you eternally in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. I appreciate your time.
Amen. Amen.